The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. The second hour is here. Gene Hallman and Kyle Trask joined us in the first hour. Kyle Trask obviously talking about playing with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Hallman talking about a big article that is out in the Wall Street Journal featuring Nick Saban doing a PSA for the vaccine. There's a big movement in Alabama. Hallman is orchestrating it with many personalities, including Commissioner Greg Sankey of the SEC, trying to encourage people in that state, which happens to be at the bottom or near the bottom of states in terms of vaccinations. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Dr. Kevin Elko around the corner. Let's get back to the calls and check out Jack, who is in Florida. Hello, Jack. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hey, Paul. Another great show. I want to say I couldn't disagree more with that caller that just called in about the college playoffs. I think expanding the college playoffs is a great idea. And where I'm coming from on it is, I was always uncomfortable with just, picking the national championship based on just, sports writers' opinions, which, I appreciate sports writers, but I don't like the idea of opinions. I like the idea of proving it on the field. And so when you set up a more expanded playoff structure, the bottom line is whoever wins it is going to have – they've earned it. And you know what? What's going to happen, too, is eventually you're going to see upsets and you're going to see a team – you're going to see a Tom Brady six-round draft pick become, the greatest quarterback in the NFL. You're going to see a team that – shouldn't have won it, end up winning it, which will be fantastic for college football. So I couldn't disagree more with that caller. The second thing I wanted to say is I think Kyle Trask has a great future potentially and could not be learning from a better teacher than Tom Brady. And last thing I want to say is I think Tom Brady is probably the greatest achievement in the history of sports to go from a six-round draft pick to the most accomplished quarterback of all time. I'll shut up now and listen to what you have to say about that.
Thank you very much. I agree with you on that. Let's check in with Lee, who is up next in Ohio. Hello, Lee. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call and say how much I appreciated something that Charles Barkley said the other day, and it had to do with the fact that there's not enough credit given to these athletes. Or the athletes aren't giving enough credit to getting a free education in college, because I personally, I was lucky enough. I had my whole entire bachelor's degree paid for. I played baseball. I was a pitcher, and I threw puss. I admit I couldn't break pane of glass with my fastball. I was lucky enough, though, to get a scholarship. I've got a twin sister who is still paying off her student loans for her bachelor's degree. My point is there's not enough credit given to what a college degree is actually worth and how much it actually costs. I was very fortunate in that respect. And the fact that Charles Barkley mentioned that, I give him kudos for that. I've always respected him, but I have a lot more respect for him now because he decided to make mention of that. Instead of just talking about name, image, and likeness, he wanted to say how important it is to get a free education, how much that's actually worth. And I don't think a lot of college people realize that. I've never had delusions of grandeur that I'd ever make it to the pros. I was just lucky enough to play Division I baseball, but I had it paid for and had my college and my bachelor's degree paid for because of it.
Well, that is fantastic, Lee, and it's a significant accomplishment as well. D is up next in Georgia. D, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm calling not with any kind of political statement. Today I just want to know, I need a little clarification on this transfer portal.
Sure.
I'm not a big fan of it, but I try to get both sides. What's actually the difference between transferring prior to Jalen and after and whatever these changes are? I just need to get an understanding.
Yeah, well, Dee, there had always been a stipulation in there that a graduate, it's what's called a graduate transfer, meaning if you had graduated, you could leave your school and have one more year if you had the eligibility. This transfer portal means you can leave any time, and you go into the portal, and you will be able to move schools without any penalty. Now, the only issue here is, at least for now, in the SEC, it's being debated as we speak. You can't transfer from Georgia to Alabama or Florida to Georgia without sitting out a year. That may change too, and a lot of places you can leave without penalty. But so that's really the difference. Is it used to only be for graduate seniors. Now it's for everyone.
Do they make exceptions for hardship cases like?
Yes.
Parents,
well, in fact, Justin Fields was able to leave on a hardship, and it dealt with a number of things, an unfortunate event that involved his sister at UGA. Those are hit and miss, but yeah, under extreme hardship, they will usually allow you to leave, or they would have in the past.
Okay, that's what I wanted to understand, because I'm not a big fan of everybody just jumping and going. Not that I feel that a student just owe a college everything because he's getting a degree, because everybody's there to get a degree or to get something so they can make money when they graduate, or if they don't graduate, have better chances at a job. But I just don't think everybody should just be transferring back and forth. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. David in New Jersey, you're on the air. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, Mr. Fonbein.
Hey there.
I just want to talk about how expanding the college football playoffs would be such a great idea. I mean, we could see more Group of Five schools competing with the Power Five. Like, it would be great for the colleges and the fans.
Well, David, certainly that's one of the reasons for transferring, is to let everyone have a better shot. Right now, if you're a Group of Five, you're not getting in. Doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah, true. I mean, for example, when UCF went undefeated, they didn't make the college football playoffs.
Well, yeah, there's some reasons for that. They didn't play anyone either, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the call. Yeah, I understand where some people are coming from, but we're not talking about participation trophies here. You're still going to have to get in, and if you get in, you're very likely going to play the best team on their home field. Will that be exciting? Well, better than some meaningless bowl game on the same day. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's talk about Matt. Hey, Matt, what about your coach running his mouth? A lot of people think he got that idea from you.
Maybe. I don't know, honestly, Paul. I just think he did it the wrong way. He should have said, we're going to be his a-hole when he comes to College Station, not say I respect the man, because no offense. Like I said, Jimbo Fisher, I respect him a lot for saying that. And Nick Saban's still going down. I don't care what Alabama fans say. Oh, I need to get off the air. Matthew's talking too much smack. This fan's not going away, and we're still going to beat Nick Saban. He's still going down.
I kind of agree with you. I think once you make a statement, I mean, nobody wants to hear anybody praise Nick Saban. Everybody does that. Be different.
Exactly. Be different. What is Jim supposed to say? Oh, we're going to beat him when he retires? He can't say
that. I like what he said. And by the way, Matt, you can't lose any worse than you did last year when you lost by 28.
Not really, honestly, Paul. And let me ask you an honest question, Paul. You've always been a straight shooter with me, and I respect you for that, Paul. I got nothing but respect for you, Paul. Honestly, why do you think the coaches on that team haven't left yet? You don't think they're ticked off? They want to prove something, that they want to beat Alabama and take the next step?
Well, sure they do.
You don't think they want to finish something they started?
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that, Matt. Hey, listen, thank you for the call. Kevin Elko, one of our favorite guests. He's been with us for many, many years. The famed sports psychologist and motivator. He will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome all of you back here on a Friday afternoon. And what pleasure it gives us to welcome back to our program one of our favorite guests. He is Dr. Kevin Elko, has been with us so many times over these years. And Dr. Elko, I mentioned you, I think it was last week or the week before, when we were commemorating the 10th anniversary of the Tuscaloosa tornado that you played such a big role in. And it's just great to have you back. How are you?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
I'm doing wonderful. I miss seeing you, buddy, and you will always be special to me because of the way you came and rallied and focused and helped us during that time, and what a blessing I think you are in that show and what we did during that period. And that you and I will be close friends forever because of that period. So I appreciate you mentioning me. I heard you did, and I said, I can get back on my friend's show.
Well, it's so great. We were talking about Nick Saban, a familiar subject recently. Earlier today, he's leading the cause in Alabama. He did a public service announcement this week on the vaccine, which reminds me, we talk to you often during the pandemic. It's affected so many lives. Here we are on Mother's Day weekend, and it feels like we're almost to the other side of that. But it's certainly taken its toll, hasn't it, Dr. Elko?
It has taken its toll. And I think what we have to do in light of mothers, you know, I love the story of Buster Douglas when his mother passed away 10 days before he fought Tyson. And he hit Tyson's glove and said, I dedicate this to the memory of my mother. And, of course, that fight was unbelievable, and he won that fight. And I think that there's so many things and different things we look back at this time, Paul. But let's all take a minute and think about the memory and the good and the blessing we've had of our mother during this time, because so much came out of that period. But it's time for us to start looking forward. You know, what we say in Tuscaloosa all the time, you live in vision, you live in circumstances, and let's get a good, strong vision going forward. But I said, yeah, I'm going to call my friend, and we're going to talk about mothers and what we have going forward. But it has been a tough time. But I think we're going to come out. This is going to be the roaring 20s, Paul. We're going to come out. It's going to be good. And we do need to get that vaccine. So I'm excited about going forward and what we have coming up.
I want to talk about that because, when you talk about the roaring 20s, that was a fascinating era in when the whole world, we were coming out of World War One, and life was good. And it just, there is that excitement level, Dr. Elko. And as somebody who deals with people all the time and deals with professional teams and college teams, I don't want to put the brakes on, but as we get excited for another college football season that we'll participate in, what should we keep in mind?
I think we need to keep in mind that we have to keep in mind the good, Paul. Listen to this phrase. What we think about expands. And if we sit around and think about what isn't good, I mean, we're all so blessed. And it's the same message we had when we came through the tornadoes. And whatever we think about expands. So we could think about what was taken away. We could think about the challenges. But there's so much good. We live in a great country. You know, my people from Alabama, there's so much good down there. So what you think about expands. So my phrase is live in vision, not circumstance. And my phrase is put things in your mind. The Spartak Tennis Academy in Russia always has some of the top tennis players in the world. And I love their phrase. Think like a gardener. Act like a carpenter. A gardener keeps planting good in their garden. They don't plant the weeds. So the first thing you do is keep planting good thoughts and act like the carpenter. Then go do the thoughts. Go execute them. So let's keep on thinking about what we spend. Let's not think about what we have taken away. Let's keep on thinking about the good we have, what's coming. Let's keep on thinking about living in vision. Hey, Paul, we had two messages coming from those tornadoes. Here's the first one. Live in vision. Don't live in circumstances. Number one, don't look for blessings to come into your life. Let's go be a blessing in people's lives. Let's go touch them. Let's go serve them. And let's make sure that we get up every day and just go bless people. I think that what we think about expands. Let's think about the good. Let's just think about the vision. And we are going to have the reward. We're going to have some of the best years in the history years. So I'm excited about it.
Dr. Kevin Elka with us, who's an author and a psychologist. He works with so many teams. Dr. Elko, I'm curious about yourself, because the last year has been different for all of us, but you are a man that I know because I've seen you so many times. You're traveling every day of the week for the most part. That did not happen. How did you cope with the pandemic?
I said, I have to recreate my life. And reality is always a friend, Paul. With business, I had one of my best years. With my kids right here, I had one of my best years. I feel bad what happened to some people out there with their jobs and their economics. But I just, with the same things I preach, I did. Live in vision, recreate. And, you know, in my book, Believing is Seeing, I have a story about Isaac Perlman, who he was playing for the New York Philharmonic, and one of the strings broke. And the violence of our age. He played this piece perfect on three strings. And he said, in life, sometimes you have to do the best you can on whatever you have left. And that's what I did. I didn't go into any kind of a, woe is me, this is going to be bad, it's going to be awful. I just did the whole story that you and I have talked about so much about the boll weevil in Enterprise. When they came in, the boll weevil took all the cotton and said, hey, brand new crop of peanut. And that's how I did it. And I realized there'll never be a time in my life again. My kids are 19 or 21. I'm going to have them with me. There'll never be a time I'll be able to do work like this. But this will be a time, Paul, this last year that we will always remember. Because life kind of merges together. We remember how we served. We remember how we cared. How your program helped people get an escape. We'll always remember this year. So I just said, let's make sure we do it in a way that we remember, in a good way. And I wasn't cursed. I mean, I know that so many people have been challenged, but in so many ways, I just think my life's been more than blessed. It's been favored. And we just stayed on that. Plus, I got to get in there with some of the teams I work with. I got to get in there with the Tide. Coach kept me coming in, so life was good.
Let's talk about that for a second. And I know you can't tell us everything that goes on. We've talked to you on the way into a national championship game, after ones. But this year, Dr. Elko seemed different. And you tell us why, because, I mean, I think it's obvious Nick Saban was prepared for it. But help us better understand how he pulled this off.
Leadership started with it, Paul. He came out with so what, now what? He came out and Nick basically said the team that's able to adjust and adapt the best through these times will be the best. He said, if you're not, his phrase was, you'll be a dinosaur. So there we teach language. And it was so what, now what? He kept on teaching it and teaching the way that they thought. And he said, look, you're going to, and this is for everybody, Paul, for all your listeners. You have to learn how to adapt and adopt when change comes. And so he set the precedent. This was the best leadership group I've ever seen. And this was one of the best jobs of leadership ever done there. And Landon Dickerson stands in front of the whole team, Paul, one of my favorites. And I told Nick, I go, I think our MVP was Landon. He goes, look, I was at Florida State, played against you. I came up here and practiced with you. When we went out this year, the way we're practicing isn't the way we've done it before. That wasn't that intensity. Landon said, in front of the whole team, I'm going to come with intensity. Watch this next phrase, Paul. Match me. Great phrase for everybody. I'm going to put a smile on my face. I'm going to go be a blessing. Match me. And then Devontae says, we start warm up, and I hear negative voices. Not anymore. We're going to be very positive. Match me. Match me. That's what I'm doing. Do that in our families. Do that in our communities. And then Matt said, and if I make a mistake, I'm going to quit, not beat me up, and focus back on what I'm doing. Again, match me. I thought Coach set the perfect language, tempo, with whoever can change to what happens. Some players are going to make the game. Some coaches, Nick didn't make a game. I'm going to be able to make two. Some coaches are going to be here. If you can adapt and change, we'll be here. And I love, Paul was one of the best, maybe the best leadership I've ever seen. Howie Roseman calls me Philadelphia, and he goes, I love Devontae. I go, second best leader I've ever seen in my life. Who was the best? I said, Landon Dickerson. They both went to Philly. And I just think leadership is so short, and we have such a leadership deficit. And one phrase, buddy, match me. Just match me. And they did it, and it was sort of our language. And Nick is one of the best I've known at turning the ownership over to the team. And they took over in a fabulous, positive way. It was a special year. A special year.
Dr. Elko, I want to close by bringing you more back to home in terms of individuals, because so many of us have gone through difficult times, are still going through difficult, whether it's economic or physical. I'm curious, and I think the audience would gain a lot from some basic templates, some maxims that you could help people with. Because it's whether, I need to lose weight, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to call my mother, I need to be better to my kids and family. I mean, these are simple things, but complicated for a lot of us. Help us.
I like the whole idea of being somebody that programs your mind, your thinking. So we, like at Alabama, we have language, so what, now what? Be where your feet are. Keep chopping. Paul, a couple years ago, they called me. I came on your program after you said something looked different. Yeah, because I lost so much weight. They carried me out in an ambulance and took me to Cleveland Clinic. Told me I missed dying by 2 minutes. I'll tell you how I looked at it. I have a phrase I use. Nothing happens to me. Everything happens for me. It's my phrase. Call me radical. Call me what you want. But I came out and I go, I want to learn to love life even better. I'm going to take ownership of my health, which I did, and that's the second phrase, ownership. I changed my exercise, I changed my diet, I changed everything. So as we go through what we've gone through with COVID and this year, my phrase is, I don't know how right now. And this was in the Huffington Post. Arianne Huffington wrote, you have to live life like there's a plan for your life. And then she quoted the poet Rumi, you have to live like life stacked in your favor. And so when something comes, we have to sit back and go, that happened for me. And with accountability, I just say, get yourself two or three people around you and make your day accountable. It's your weight. Say, here's my diet. And this is how we do it in Alabama. It's called nitty-gritty goals. It's my daily goals. We put them in units. And get somebody around you that loves you and cares about you, and you keep each other accountable. And accountability is not in any way, Paul, related to punishment. It's ownership. It's ownership. And so if it comes to weight, it's real easy. Theoretically, it's not easy doing it. Write out what you're going to do. There's a big sign in the back of Alabama's weight room. It's poor nutrition cannot be undone by overtraining. You've got to say, here's what I'm going to eat today. Here's how I do it. Here's what I'm going to think today. This will be my actions today. And then get people to keep you accountable. But as to when things happen, COVID, setbacks, in the end, I always go, that happened for me. And I admit I'm a radical, but now this is what I'm going to learn from it. There's a plan for my life, and everything that happens is involved with that plan. And it works for me. And when they took me to Cleveland, I hope every listener, Paul, you got me fired up now. I hope every one of your listeners has their life taken from them and given back. It changes everything. You don't waste time. You don't allow somebody to offend you. You get to a point where you're going to say, I'm going to enjoy this day. It's a gift to me. And Paul, we were all given a gift, our talent and our time. That's our two gifts. Have you ever given somebody a gift and they didn't use it? How'd that feel? Well, you were given by something and someone much larger than you a gift. Unwrap the gift and use it. And to me, I think you have to do the language, take command of your mind, how you talk to you, get a vision, get a daily vision, and know anything comes along that way, in some way, it happened for you.
Dr. Kevin Elko joining us, and what a pleasure it is and always will be. Dr. Elko, look forward to the next time. Have a great weekend, and hope to see you soon.
Let me say one thing. Let me say one thing in closing, buddy. Everybody's asking me, they want to come see me. I will be at Ross Bridge in Birmingham May 17th, right in Alabama. Your listeners, come see us. Come see me. I have a game plan for greatness.com. If you want to get on there, we'd love to see you. And, Paul, I want to come on again. It's been too long since I've been with you, buddy.
Well, we look forward to having you in studio the next time you're through here. And thank you, Dr. Elko. You be well.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You too, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Always great to talk to Dr. Kevin Elko. We will take a break. It's been a busy show with Kyle Trask and Dr. Elko, Gene Hallman. What a week it's been with endless stream of great guests. Your phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. And don't forget, Sunday, Mississippi State and South Carolina, two highly regarded baseball teams, will meet 2 p.m. Eastern right here. And we are back on the program. A lot of very interesting guests, and time for you to react to all of that at 855-242-7285. Gene Hallman on the vaccination campaign that's headed by Nick Saban. We also had Kyle Trask on. You heard Dr. Elko. You can get in now at 855-242-7285. And let's check out Dub, who is in North Carolina. Hello, Dub. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, I do appreciate your show, and I appreciate you giving me some time to speak on your show, because your show has kept me in tune to the great SEC nation. Moved to North Carolina some 20-plus years ago from Alabama, born and raised, christened in crimson and white, and still travel that weekend pass on football week to the Crimson Tide T-Town. But I'm calling you, and I've listened to a couple of your callers, and I want to be able to get on the good path of Paul Feinbaum, but I seem to have heard another caller that kind of tripped your trigger, and it didn't set well with you, and it's about the college playoffs. And I know the world doesn't have to always get along. We'd be a, kind of a boring place if we all agreed on the same things, but my understanding of this college playoff is if we ask more teams to be in the college playoff, we get a better playoff. And is this more financial than it is anything else?
Of course. And, you know, my only issue with the previous caller, Dub, was this. The college football playoff is not expanding because of the cancel culture. They really don't care. They care about one thing, money. And there is a tremendously large pool of money at the end of this rainbow. And there's concern that if you wait too long and miss the window, the economy could change. We could have some other crisis that that infects the world. I'm not being a doomsdayer, but this is a moment in time right now, especially for live sporting events and for television. You're seeing it happening across the board, and I think there's a sense within that very stubborn group of people that let's open the door now, let's look ahead instead of waiting to the end of this deal. Let's cut a deal now when we know the getting will be good.
Well, how do you feel that this is going to make the what we call, back in my generation, the great bowl games that used to watch? You know, that was, I mean, everybody scheduled their holidays around the bowl games back in my day. And nowadays, it doesn't seem like there's a bowl game worth watching other than, you know, you want to tune into the playoffs. So how is it going to affect even greatly?
Well, it's the bowl games are dead. Let's be honest. I mean, I still remember, as you probably do, on New Year's Day, there were two or three games on at one time, and we would move we would bring all the televisions together in the same room and watch them. because
absolutely.
That's how we did it. But
absolutely.
But you can't be nostalgic about sports. You can't be nostalgic about anything that is currently happening because the world is different, and you have to recognize and accept that. And right now the action is in the playoff. There are still going to be some big games. And, you know, will they be as big as they were in 1980? No, they won't even be close. And I know everyone that comes on here wants to preserve the regular season. Well, you're just simply finding ways to make the regular season more interesting. And how does the NFL do it? The NFL is the driving force here. What makes the last two or three weeks of the NFL season interesting? It's getting in the playoff. It's avoiding a wild card, meaning you can have a week off and home field advantage. And I see college football going down the same path.
Absolutely. Well, Paul, again, it's always an honor to hear you. And I've been following you for many, many years. So I appreciate you taking my call. And if I could do one last shout out to, because it's coming Sunday being such a great holiday to celebrate the mothers of our country. I'd like to be able to drop a few names, if I could, to some special moms in my life.
Sure, please do.
Well, I'd like to send out one to my sister, which lives still in Alabama. Her name is Jane. My daughter that lives in, it broke my heart. It actually went to Auburn University as a graduate, but is doing incredibly well, even though she went there. Madison. And then my daughter-in-law that lives in Charleston, South Carolina, Ashley. And then the beautiful grandbabies they gave that became mothers was, and that would be Harper, Hayden, Ellie, and Gabriel. So thank you for allowing me to do that. And oh, don't let me forget, because I might not be able to go back in the house, my beautiful wife Cindy.
Thanks, Bob. Yeah, this is a very it's always been one of my favorite holidays, and everyone has their own Mother's Day memories, but it is, and I don't mean to disparage the great fathers out there, but it doesn't compare to Mother's Day. And a lot of it is a time of the year. I mean, we are Mother's Day. I don't know how they decided on the second Sunday in May, but it is likely to be the prettiest weekend of the year. It's just the weather is in most places has not gotten too hot. In the Northeast and the Midwest, it's not nearly as cold, and it's just a very special day. We'll talk more about that as we continue. And Josh is up next. Josh in New Orleans. Hello, Josh. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How are we doing? I've been listening a long time. I was just wondering, man, what your thoughts were on Tim Tebow and where you actually see him going, if he's going to go at all or anything like that. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Yeah, well, there's only Tebow only has one option, and that's the Jaguars. And yeah, he's had his opportunities in the NFL with the Broncos, the Jets, and you know, two teams that he had moments, especially Denver. He was cut by New England in 2013 and by Philadelphia in 2015. And what this is really more about Urban Meyer than it is anyone else. I say this as a friend of Tebow's, but I don't think there's any other GM, there's any other head coach that would deal with him. But on the other hand, nobody else knows him like Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer genuinely believes in him. He believes that Tebow can make a difference as a tight end, maybe an occasional quarterback like Hill did and has done in New Orleans in the past. He also, I think, likes what he brings to the team. And besides, Urban Meyer runs that place. This is not your garden variety head coach with the New York Jets who may not have very much authority. Urban moved in three doors down from Tebow. The general manager lives in the same neighborhood. And I believe this is very legitimate. Otherwise, it wouldn't have come out. And you haven't heard any really strong denials. I think we're pretty close to a decision, one way or the other. I hope Tim does it. I know he wants to. And I think he's a competitor, one of the greatest competitors in sports history. And, you know, he doesn't have a team right now he has left baseball. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back here on a Friday afternoon. Let's go to Memphis, and Ed is calling next. Good afternoon, Ed.
Hey, Paul. How How you doing?
We are doing great.
It was great to see John Daly on your program a few minutes ago.
Wasn't that? He's just become one of the great people I've ever met in sports, and I love the guy.
Right. First of all, I want to tell you that I'm proud to be a retired Marine Corps veteran, which leads me to my question. I know there aren't too many John Trents or Pete Dawkins or Blanchard and Davises or Roger Staubachs out there, but I was just wondering if the athletics at the service academies will be able to take advantage of this NIL bill since their education is furnished by the government. The reason I ask is because those athletes that do not go to the academies get to go on to lucrative professional careers if they're good enough and make millions. Guys like Kyle Trask, who you had on there recently, those young midshipmen and cadets get to serve 4 to 6 years for their country where they might be maimed for life or worse for their troubles. What are your thoughts on this?
Wow, that's such a great question. My nephew is a Naval Academy graduate. He's a helicopter pilot, and they do deserve that. I was just thinking of, we were interviewing David Robinson a couple of months ago, and to think what he could have made while he was in Annapolis as one of the best basketball players. I mean, obviously he made hundreds of millions of dollars later, but I don't know the answer to your question. It's a fantastic question. I'll see if we can. I would anticipate they are going to be eligible because they're. I don't think there's any provisos that differentiate the service academies from everyone else. Now the service academies may say yay or nay, and I don't know how that will work. But that, I think it's going to come down to them, to the leadership of. I guess you tell me who runs. Is that coming under what body is? Do they report to every different branch of the government? I'm not sure how the service academies work.
Well, you know, in the service, when you leave a post, you can't accept gifts from enlisted men or anything of that nature. So I don't know.
Yeah, I guess my point is, what umbrella of the government do they come under? Who has supervision, or are they all part of? Is West Point part of the Army? Annapolis part of the Navy? I'm just not sure how that works.
Right. Well, I don't know if the superintendents of the academies would have a say in that or not.
I would think they would. It could be up to the cabinet secretary too. I'm really not. It's a question that I will see if we can find the answer to. But it's a great question.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Go Hogs.
You got it. Semper Fi. Very interesting call there. So let me see if we have time to squeeze one more in. And how about? Not a lot of time. Let me go to Andy in Kentucky. Hey, Andy, go right ahead.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, I've got a question for you about the playoff. If I'm reading this right, we go 8, 10, 12. The Power 5 conference champions are automatically in. Is that correct? Is that what you're reading?
Yeah, I would think you'd see the five Power 5s, a group of five, and two at-larges. That would be my best guess.
Okay, so basically, anybody to win the SEC, you only have to win 7 games, and you'd be in the playoff.
Well, yeah, I would think the SEC championship game winner would get the automatic bid.
Right. Well, I was thinking if you win the 6 on your division, the crossovers don't matter, all the other games don't matter, and you win the SEC championship at 7 games.
Andy, I hate to run. We'll see if we can get to the answer to that in a minute. We are coming back with a couple more hours to go.